Well, as we come to this final message today in our series, Faith for the Family, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And so we're here today to find God's wisdom for the development of godly families and for the building up of Christ-honoring relationships. Today's message is simply entitled, Families with a Faith That Works. Families with a Faith That Works. Now, there's nothing worse than buying something that doesn't work. Maybe you've purchased a television or a radio or a toaster or something, and you get it home and you get it all set up or plugged in, and you find out it doesn't work. A few years ago, I was pretty excited because at Christmas time, I got a neat present. I got some battery-powered socks. Now, they weren't on any list. I'd never really thought before of getting battery-powered socks, but when I got those, I thought, boy, that'll be great. I'll wear those when I'm out in the woods or out hunting somewhere. And I got up in those mountains, and the temperatures were cold, and I put on my battery-powered socks, and all they really were ankle weights because they didn't really warm my feet at all. I remember another time a fellow came by the house. He said, I have just what you need. This is guaranteed spot remover. This spot remover will take up every spot in your house. It will clean every piece of carpet. I said, good, we need some of that. And I bought that spot remover, and I cleaned all those spots and got up the next morning. And before I came out to the office, I looked at the carpet, and all those spots had reappeared. And I realized that the guaranteed spot remover was 24-hour guaranteed spot remover, but that was about it. Now, I'm glad today that when God designed our faith and when God gave to us the Word of God for our families, it is truly guaranteed. The Bible says in James 2 and verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, James had such a tremendous understanding of his walk with God, such a tremendous appreciation for the validity of his faith, that he could say, I'm not just going to talk about it, I'm going to show you my faith in God lived out each and every day. Now, many families, many Christian families, come to a place in their life where they experience a crisis of their faith. All of a sudden, the trials come. All of a sudden, they have questions in their mind about this matter of their trust in Christ and how it all works out in the daily relationships. And so we ask this morning, is the faith itself faulty, or is the Word of God faulty, or is perhaps our practice faulty? And this morning, we come to this subject of having a faith that works in our families. And I'm glad today that God has provided everything necessary for faith to work. There are no missing parts. There are no missing ingredients. Everything we need in order to have families with a faith that works, not just Sunday mornings at 11, but throughout the week, everything that we need is found in the Word of God. He has provided the wisdom. He has provided all that we need in order to have a faith that works throughout this upcoming week. And I want to share with you this morning three of the great ingredients that God has given to us for having a family with faith that works. Notice, first of all, in your notes this morning, that God has given us a guiding presence of His Holy Spirit. He has given to us the guiding presence of His Holy Spirit. Now, notice first of all this morning, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And if you would this morning, turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 3. And I want to draw your attention here to something very basic, but something that we can sometimes just skip over if we're not careful, about what it means to be born again by the Spirit of God. Now, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that no one becomes a Christian unless they first hear from the Word of God. But as we are hearing externally this message of faith, there is also something happening internally. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit who draws all men to Christ. And that is why Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So the new birth is a spiritual birth. Peter spoke of it in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. He says, whereby is given unto us many exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, it is through the promises of the Word of God that we are able to become partakers of the divine nature. That divine nature is not something that we can fabricate. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit of God who works within those who receive the message of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. John chapter 6 and verse 63, the Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. My friends, it is the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believer, who quickens each and every one of us in the spiritual realm. So it is a wonderful thing when two totally diverse people, people from different backgrounds, someone whose family was trained to discipline a certain way, another whose family disciplined another way, one who rolls the toothpaste tediously from the bottom of the tube, another who squeezes it in the middle, people from two totally different backgrounds come together in marriage and in family life, and when these two totally different people are indwelled by the same Holy Spirit of God, it is a wonderful thing. Because the Spirit of God is not divided. And the indwelling of the Spirit takes place at the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Holy Spirit will give life and will give encouragement to the relationship of two yielded Christians who are not violating the Word of God. And as we adhere to the Word of God, the Spirit of God works in our lives and helps us in our daily relationships. It is not then power from without or pressure from without, but it is power from within that holds the family together. It is a power from within that holds the church together. Not pressure from without, but power from within. And the power in order to make this faith work on a daily basis is not our power, but it is God's power given to us at the moment of our salvation in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. So we see the indwelling of the Spirit of God. God says, I want your faith to work in your family, in your family room, your living room, your bedroom, your backyard, at Walmart, wherever your family goes this week. I want your faith to work. And I'm going to give you a guide who will be with you every step of the way. And he came to visit you and to live in your life permanently when you accepted Christ as Savior. We call it being born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Now, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior today, then His Spirit does not abide with you. And you do not have the opportunity as a family to follow the guidance of the Spirit. And oh, we would encourage you to trust Christ as your Savior even today. So we see the importance of the indwelling of the Spirit. But notice secondly in your notes there this morning, the purposes of the Spirit. The purposes of the Spirit. Now, there are many purposes of the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Trinity, worked on our behalf in order that we might be saved. For example, God loved the world. God the Father so loved the world. And God the Son voluntarily came and died on the cross for our sins. And it is God the Holy Spirit that causes the new birth to take place within our hearts. He's the one that brings to pass this new birth, whereby we are born of the Spirit. But specifically, what are the purposes of the Holy Spirit? I want to give you three this morning. They may or may not be found in your notes. First of all, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And I'd like to ask you, as you look in your notes, to also turn over to John chapter 14 for a moment. John chapter 14. In this passage, Jesus Christ is preparing His disciples for the fact that He will soon be leaving them. He will be crucified. He will ascend up into heaven. And He says in John 14 and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Here we see that the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, yes, to empower us for witnessing, but we see that He also came down to be our Comforter. The word comforter here means the one who comes alongside of us and who supports us in our time of need. And I'm going to tell you, every family needs a comforter. I'm not talking about the kind you put on top of your sheets. I'm talking about the comforter of the Holy Spirit who is with us each and every day. And through those trials, as Brother Dan mentioned a moment ago, we need the comforter. He is our comfort. Sometimes misunderstandings come and feelings could get hurt, but the Spirit of God comforts us. I heard about a young couple that was celebrating their second anniversary. And oh, the young man, boy, they were still on their honeymoon, and he wanted to make sure that he did not forget his wife at that time. And so he called up the florist. He said, "My wife works at such and such an office." He said, "I want to send her some flowers." And he said, "On the little card for the flowers, I want you to put on the card, happy anniversary," and then put a dash and put year number two. And he said, "Just let her know that I love her. Have those delivered." So sure enough, the flowers were delivered and the young lady opened up the card. And as she opened the card, it said, "Happy anniversary, your number two." And she sat there wondering about that. She wasn't sure. It's at times like that when we need the comfort and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit of God. He's our comfort. Secondly, He is our teacher. The Holy Spirit of God is our teacher. The Bible says in John 14 again, if you'll notice there, and verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, those of you who have been through the discipleship course here at Lancaster Baptist, you have undoubtedly learned about some of the distinctives of the Baptist. And two come to my mind immediately. First, the priesthood of every believer. We believe that every believer can pray directly to the Lord, and that Jesus Christ is our mediator. We don't have to pray through a man. We can pray directly to the Lord. What a blessing that is. Another distinctive of the Baptist is what is called individual soul liberty. In other words, every individual person can study the Scriptures and make decisions as the Spirit of God leads them. And here we see that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Thank God for pastors and teachers and evangelists. But every single believer has the privilege of opening up their Bible and learning and understanding what the Bible says as the Holy Spirit teaches and guides them. And we thank God that the Spirit is our comforter. He is our teacher. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus Christ. He will always glorify Jesus Christ. There is no way that our homes can glorify Jesus Christ apart from the indwelling of the Spirit of God, apart from our following the leadership of the Spirit of God. Notice what it says in John 16, John chapter 16 and verse 13. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "shall glorify me," Jesus Christ speaking, "He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." Here we see that the Spirit of God will glorify Jesus Christ. That's why many churches today in the neo-Pentecostal movement who place such emphasis on the Holy Spirit constantly, do not often preach Christ. Few people are saved in their midst. Oh, they may try to bring others from a church where they've already accepted Christ. But the emphasis in some of these churches that is constantly on the Holy Spirit and not lifting up Jesus Christ is an evidence of the imbalance in their ministry. For the Spirit of God's ministry is to exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the evidences of a family that is a Spirit-led family is that they make much of Jesus in that family. They pray to Him, and they want to learn of Him, and they love Him with all of their hearts. So it is with the church that is truly a church guided and filled by the Spirit of God. There is a great desire to go out and tell of Christ and support missionaries and bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we see that God has given us the guidance of His Spirit. The indwelling comes at salvation, the purposes of the Spirit to comfort, to teach, and to glorify Christ. And then I want you to see, thirdly, the evidences of the Holy Spirit. How can we know that our faith is working within our family? How can we know that God's Spirit is helping us to be a better dad or mom? What are some tests that help us, diagnostic tests, to show us that we are on our way to becoming a family of faith? What are the evidence of the Spirit? Now, some people, when you talk about the Holy Spirit and you link the word evidences, the very first thing they like to say is tongues. That's it, tongues. Every five-year-old should speak in tongues. Tongues are not the evidence of this matter of being filled with the Spirit of God. In fact, when you study the Scriptures, though they existed for a brief moment of time prior to the conclusion of Scripture, the fact of the matter is that tongues were never the evidence of the filling of the Spirit of God for a believer. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And certainly we don't have time to study this entire subject. I have entire tape series available. Perhaps you'd like to study some of our teaching from the Scriptures about the temporary sign gifts. But notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 12 toward the end of the chapter. Some questions are asked by the Apostle Paul in summary on this subject. And he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Now just think about this, verse 29. Are all apostles? Let's ask this question. Are all of us apostles today, yes or no? No. The apostles have long passed off the scene. Are all of us prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Then it is obvious that speaking with tongues cannot be the evidence of whether or not someone has been filled with the Spirit of God. So what are the evidences of the Holy Spirit? Well, I want you to turn, please, in your Bibles now to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The evidences of the Spirit. First of all, a family that has the Spirit truly guiding them will be a family with a godly lifestyle. This family will have a different lifestyle than other families. Now, what is that lifestyle? How is it described? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the, what's the next word? The fruit of the Spirit. All right, so this is the Spirit that indwelled you at salvation, your wife at salvation, your children at salvation. This indwelling Spirit wants to bear some fruit in your home this week. Well, what kind of fruit will the Spirit bear? What kind of evidence will we see that will allow us to understand that He is at work? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Let's just stop right there. How many of you would like those three attributes to be reflected in your family this week? Love, joy, and peace. All right. Well, we can't do that on our own. But in the power of the Spirit, there can be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and so forth. So walking in the Spirit is not some emotional Sunday morning experience detached from everyday life. It is the daily experience of the believer who feeds on the Word of God, prays, and obeys what the Bible says. Walking in the Spirit is not something that just happens when the praise band really gets cranking on Sunday morning at 11. No, no. It is something that should be happening in our life every moment of every day. There should be God working and fruit coming forth in our lives. I remember years ago, in fact, our first week here in Lancaster, I went to the bank down the street here, Security Pacific or whatever. They've changed a couple of times now, but I was standing in the line there, and I got up to the teller there, and I gave her the deposit that we were making, and I pulled out of my pocket a gospel tract, and I said, I'm Paul Chappell. I'm the pastor up here at Lancaster Baptist. We're just getting started. I'd love to have you come and visit with us. And the lady looked at me, and you could see fire from her eyes, and she said, I'd never go to a Baptist church. You don't even understand so many things about the Christian life. And I thought, that's customer service. And as the lady stood there saying these things, I thought to myself, you know, I thought the Holy Spirit's ministry had something to do with love and joy and peace. You see, I don't want a faith that gets all excited on a Sunday at 11, but can't love my wife on Monday at 7. You see. And the fruit of the Spirit isn't a Sunday morning thing. God wants this faith to work all the time in our families. Every day. So there will be a godly lifestyle developed when we are truly led of the Spirit. There will also be a holy lifestyle. Notice again what it says in Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the marks of a Spirit-filled Christian are not unusual emotional experiences, but they are rather Christian character. So we walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now let's take a little quiz here. If a man comes home and he sees his wife and he tells her, you don't look the way I want you to look and you didn't cook what I wanted you to cook and I'm sick and tired of you. Is that a carnal or fleshly man, or is that someone walking in the Spirit? Which one? A or B? It's A. It's a man walking in the flesh, walking according to the old patterns of life before Christ. But we see that someone that is walking in the Spirit will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so God says, I want your family faith to work. That's why I've given you the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit to follow and to yield to His work within your heart, His conviction, His leading. As He leads you, you will have a family that bears the right kind of fruit. Recently, Tiger Woods signed a contract with Nike, $100 million contract with Nike, that said that in the next several years, he will wear Nike pants, Nike shirts, Nike shoes, Nike hats, and golf with Nike golf balls for $100 million. By the way, I think I would preach in a Nike hat for $100 million. We'd take those next steps, wouldn't we? But even as Tiger walks in Nike, we are to walk in the Spirit. Even as he is clothed with, identified with, and walking in Nike, God says that he wants us to walk in his Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And God says every family needs the guiding presence of his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit indwells us when we are saved. And Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How many of you have ever seen someone controlled by alcohol just stuporing around? Anybody ever seen that? I've seen it a time or two. No, it's a sad sight when someone's under the influence of alcohol like that. But God says, even as someone is negatively controlled by my Spirit, by alcohol, I want you positively to be controlled by my Spirit. I want you to walk in my Spirit so that you won't treat your wife that way, the way the fleshly man does. I want you to walk in my Spirit so that you won't treat your children the way the fleshly man would, but that you would treat them the way the Spirit would have you to treat them. The guiding presence of the Holy Spirit. If we will have a faith that works, we must follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, if we will have a faith that works, we must have a biblical perspective of self. A biblical perspective of self. Now, the world tells us that we have everything we need, all right? Self magazine, positive thinking, the power of positive thinking. And you hear about it. Even in the Olympics themes, you'll hear about if all the communities would come together, we could achieve peace. But it's always without God, you see. And the emphasis is on self. And the emphasis says that what we ought to do is get up in the morning, fellas, and look ourselves in the mirror and say, hey there, handsome. Go out there and conquer your world today. And go out there and make those sales. And you can build this company and you can do it because you are you. Well, that's what the world says. But what does the Bible say? You see, the Bible says that there's a different perspective. God has a different perspective on us. And God's perspective is that we in ourselves are very, very weak. That we are prone to failure. And that apart from His power, we cannot fulfill spiritual fruit. And so it is that our flesh will fight against the Spirit's leading to develop a spiritual home. And so instead of getting up tomorrow and saying, hey there, fella, you can do it, a wise man would get up and say, hey, you can't do a thing. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. You see, God is not impressed with our titles. He's not impressed with the fact that we're pastors or evangelists or with the fact that we're police officers or doctors or whatever the case might be. He sees right to the core of what we are, and without Him, we will fail. And so we are wise to get up each and every day and acknowledge that, Lord, without you today, I'm going to fail because I am prone to walk in the flesh. In fact, look what it says there in verse 17 of Galatians 5. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. You see, your flesh doesn't want to get up and go to church. Your flesh doesn't want to help your wife wash the dishes. Any honest men here? No one in their flesh wants to give in an offering. It's the fruit of the Spirit that causes us to desire to come to church, to be kind, to forgive, to give. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God. And so we must have a biblical perspective on self. Let me give you two thoughts here. First of all, self or pride is the destroyer of every relationship. Self, will, or pride is the destroyer of every relationship. Notice back here in Galatians chapter 6 for just a moment. Galatians 6 and verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, if I reap to the flesh, and I come home every day, and I speak evil to my wife, and I say words that are not kind to my children, in time, if I sow to the flesh, I'm going to reap corruption. I'm going to destroy that family. If I reap to the flesh in the ways of sin or lust, I'm going to destroy my tender heart for God. If I sow to the flesh, I'm going to reap corruption. Likewise, if I sow to the Spirit, I will reap life. If I come into the Word of God and sow in the Word of God, I will reap spiritually the spiritual life that God wants for me. And so there are fleshly actions and fleshly speech that will be very evident in the life of someone who is not walking in the Spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 6 and verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. James 3, 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. Now, a Spirit-filled Christian has a fresh vocabulary. They've got something better to talk about. I heard this week about a young lady in a youth group in another town. And her name is Janet. She got a job at a store, not a Walmart, but like that. And she was doing well. And the manager came up to her and said, I want you to make an announcement over the intercom and tell folks about the special at the cafeteria. So she took the paper and she took the microphone. She started to make that announcement. And as she was making the announcement, she said, now we want to thank you for shopping with us today. And we want to tell you about the special that's available for you in our cafeteria. And she told all about it. She said, once again, we thank you for shopping with us today. Have a very nice day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, she was copying after that particular vocabulary that she had developed through her walk with the Lord. And what I'm simply saying is that while pride destroys relationships, the working of the Spirit will build up a relationship and will change your vocabulary and your habits. Notice, secondly, pride is defeated when we appropriate Scripture to our lives. Pride is defeated when we appropriate Scripture to our lives. Now, turn, if you would, to one more verse, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man, that's the flesh, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, God says that something wonderful happened at the cross of Jesus Christ. Not only was our sin forgiven by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, but also there Jesus Christ conquered the power of the flesh. There Jesus Christ provided victory for you in order that you might walk in the Spirit. When Jesus Christ died, according to Romans chapter 6, we died as Christians with Him. When He was raised, we raised with Him. So we now have a new position of strength in and with Christ. Christ not only died for sin, but He died unto sin, Romans 6:10. And then we recognize that He broke the power of sin. He put it out of commission. He destroyed the old nature. Now, the old nature is still there, but in the light of the cross, it is rendered powerless. The old fleshly nature wants to fight, but the old fleshly nature cannot win with the man that is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so in Christ, we died to all that belongs to the old life, and we are alive to all that is the new life. And so if we will have a family with a faith that works, we must first of all be saved and follow the indwelling and guiding of the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, we must have a biblical perspective on self that says this, I am not so great. I am not the source of all wisdom. I am a sinner saved by grace. And Lord, as a person now that has your Spirit indwelling me, I recognize that my flesh is weak. And so I ask you today, Lord, as I die to myself, Paul said, I die daily. He reckoned daily to the fact that only through the cross could he have God's strength and help. So, Lord, I today recognize that I'm not Mr. Strong. I am weak, but you are strong. And I ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Spirit that I might walk in your power today. And so we must have a biblical perspective of self. Now, a husband or a wife that has the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit, that has a proper perspective of themselves, will do a third thing. It will lead you to this third and final thought. You will have a daily practice of serving one another. A daily practice of serving one another. Now, listen, we won't serve our wives or our husbands or our children if we're in the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to serve. The flesh wants to stay on the couch and eat potato chips. The flesh doesn't want to get up and help the kids with their homework. The flesh doesn't want to go to Sunday night church. The flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. The flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. And so if we will be filled with God's Spirit, there will come a change into our home. We'll have a desire for different things. We'll have a desire to serve one another. Now, sometimes it's hard to have that servant's heart. One guy got home recently from work. He'd fought the commute all day. He got into his neighborhood. He got into his driveway, out of his car. He got to the door. He just leaned up against the door. He said, all right, honey, I've had a rough day. So tell me again. Tell me everybody's name again. Sometimes you have that day, you know. One time Matthew came up to me and he grabbed me like this. He said, Dad, my name is not Larry. Any of you parents ever been there? You kind of get them all mixed up, you know. And the truth of the matter is when you're that tired, you don't feel like serving unless you're yielded to the indwelling presence and person of the Holy Spirit. Now, a daily practice of serving will manifest itself in two ways. First, we will submit one to another. We are to submit one to another. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's where a husband and a wife say, look, yes, the husband's the head of the home, but Christ is the head of the husband. And so I'm going to submit myself to the meeting of my wife's needs as unto the Lord. I'm going to do whatever I can to meet her. By the way, there's going to be some things that she wants to do, fellas, that you don't want to do. Maybe she likes Chinese food and you don't. And the fleshly husband, when she says, let's go have Chinese food, the fleshly husband says, you always want Chinese food. I don't want Chinese food. I don't care for the way it tastes. But the husband that's walking in the Spirit will say, sure, that'll be fine. Submitting himself, preferring himself. Sometimes my wife enjoys going out window shopping. She just wants to go out and mosey. That's not how I shop. The way I shop is I determine exactly what store I need to go to. I determine exactly what I need. I go to that store. I go to that aisle. I get what I need. I go to the cash register. I pay for it. I go home. That's the way God wants people to shop. Oh, not my wife. When we go to buy something, we also go to see everything else. And in this town, to see everyone else. And you know, the fact of the matter is, I've got to be prayed up and filled with the Spirit when she wants to shop. Because in my flesh, I'm going, come on, 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 come on. I just want to get through that process. But when someone is following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, when someone has a proper perspective of themselves, that they're not so hot, and that it's only because of the Lord that they have real worth, then all of a sudden they don't mind serving other people. The reason we don't like to serve is because we think we're so hot. Our opinion's better. But when we die to self, all of a sudden we're free to serve other people. We are to submit one to another. We are to serve one another. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God is calling upon us to exhibit a Christ-like sacrificial love in the home. Some of you know that I like to do a lot of different studies, and some of you give me different demographic analysis and stuff you find on the internet and research about this, that, and the other thing. But here was one that came up this week, and it was kind of amazing. An exhaustive study shows that no woman has ever shot her husband while he was doing the dishes. Isn't that amazing? Now, the truth of the matter is that it is only the Spirit-led Christian with a proper perspective, a biblical perspective of self, that is going to serve. Galatians 5 again in verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Some people want to take God's grace and God's liberty and say, you can't tell me what to do. That's what they like to say to the church. I'm under grace, man. Tell that to your wife. Tell that to your husband. I'm under grace. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, that's not how you build a strong marriage. God says don't use your liberty as an occasion to your flesh to do whatever you want, to live however you want, to go wherever you want, drink whatever you want, watch whatever you want. I'm under grace, therefore I can sin. No, no. He says don't use your liberty as an occasion to your flesh, but use your liberty by that freedom that you have in Christ, by love to serve one another. Yes, you're saved by grace. You don't have to do anything else to go to heaven, but that's not the point. Now that you've been saved by God's grace, begin to serve one another. Now, someone may be here this morning saying, well, our family is not growing as a family of faith. Well, what are we going to do about that today? Where do you go from here? You say, if you could just see our family on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it's just disappointing. Well, what are we going to do about that? You know, a couple of years ago, we went to Sears and we bought a treadmill. I almost brought it this morning just for show and tell. But we went over to Sears, we bought that treadmill, and it's a nice treadmill. It's in our bathroom at home. You can press one button and you can climb a mountain without ever leaving the bathroom. You can press another button for a 20-minute workout. It has this little red thing you slip up in there, and if you're starting to have a heart attack, you pull it out, and it stops quickly. Some of you still aren't impressed. You can put your palms on this little bar on this treadmill, and it will tell you your blood pressure. It's a nice treadmill. Now, since we got the treadmill, I have not lost 1 pound. And the primary reason is I don't spend much time on the treadmill. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a great thing. We can hang a lot of different clothes a lot of different ways on that treadmill. Every morning I get up, I put my glasses just like this on the treadmill. That is a great treadmill. But I haven't lost 1 pound ever since I bought that treadmill. Now, what are you going to do with your Christian faith? How's this all going to work with your family? Well, you can do what most people do with their treadmills. I figure give ours another year or two the way it's going. It'll be out on the curb at the garage sale. That's what most people do with exercise bikes and treadmills. Eventually, after a while, it goes out to the garage sale. And unfortunately, that's what millions of people in America are doing with their Christian faith. They're just saying, yeah, tried God for a while, got the bumper sticker, heard a few tapes from a radio preacher, even joined an adult Bible class once, and tried it for a while, but it didn't work, and so they just put God out to the garage sale. Now, I want to ask you something. Is that where you're headed with this Christian life? Is that where the faith of your family is headed? Now, I want to say, if it is, there's no problem today with the faith. It's just God's calling some of you big boy daddies and some of you sweet mothers and wives to get on and start going. You see, James says, I have a faith that works. And the insinuation was that it worked because it was real. If you have the Spirit of God in your life today, then I challenge you. Don't walk according to the flesh. But this week, say, Lord, show me where you want me to go. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to answer this question? I want to follow your Holy Spirit. Follow the guidance of the Spirit. This week, get a fresh perspective of yourself and recognize that without the Lord, we're nothing. And then with those two in mind, begin to serve your family. And I'm going to tell you what, you will have a family with a faith that works.